Welcome back. We are at a party. It's called the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network, and we're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. We're talking about Happy New Year. Maybe you've got a bunch of appetizers that you need to make because you're going to the party, and we're going to help you out with a few of these recipes. But so we thought we'd start out moving around the barnyard, and before I get to appetizers, I might do a couple what I would call main dishes. And I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking over there, baby?
Hey, I just want to thank everybody for taking some time to join in with us. But, you know, sometimes on the weekends, you're not near your radio, but you'd still like to check out this tomfoolery. So here's what you do. You go to our website. If you're on your computer, look in the top right corner. You'll see a headset. Looks like some really nice audio equipment. And you just click on that and fill in the blanks. Just give us your location that you want us to send the show to. We don't charge for the podcast. It's all segments of every show. They're in MP3 format. We can send it to literally any device.
Right.
Android, Apple.
And all over the world. Yep. We have thousands of people that are downloading this thing every week.
You'd be surprised to see the countries it's going to.
Right. It's pretty cool.
And you would understand why you get those telemarketers calling you then.
Barbecue Bob, I know one of your favorite cuts of beef is something called a tri-tip. And you can't find it everywhere, but when you do find it, it's a very flavorful piece. Can you talk a little bit about maybe what that is and why you like it and how you might prepare that?
I can. But did you remind everybody we're from Standard Lumber and Kitchens?
Okay. I did. We said that.
Showroom.
Yeah. But it's worth it again because they're a great
take care of the housekeeping.
Right.
Tri-tip. I don't know much about tri-tip.
Right. You discovered it.
No, I did not. Magellan did. Yeah, it's a cool piece of meat. I mean, I don't think I've ever cooked tri-tip for anybody and had them put up a fuss. You can do lots of things with it. One of my favorites is to cut it into steaks and make little sizzlers like Tommy Brand made famous.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of versions of a sizzler, but Brands used a tri-tip for theirs, and that's why their tri-tip are so good. There's also a ball-tip steak, which some people use for sizzlers. That is a tough piece of meat.
Right.
But a tri-tip looks like a triangular kind of wedge thing like that big UFO that was over Phoenix about 15 years ago. And you're basically going to put some rub on it. Now, they're huge in California, and I've told you this before, but the West Coast loves tri-tip. It's their barbecue. Mm-hmm. When they say they're doing barbecue, they're typically talking about tri-tip on a Weber kettle. Check this out, Weber kettle.
Right.
You'll see guys with two or three kettles in their backyard, and they dig it.
Right.
And guess what? God bless them. That's awesome.
It is.
Because they grill more than we do, because it's always nice.
Right. And it's their primary source of cooking for proteins, especially.
Well, not a lot of bad weather in California.
Right, right.
They do start some forest fires.
Right.
Anyway, tri-tip's nice. You just rub it, put it on, bring the center of it to 130 and pull it.
It's kind of a pointy little piece of meat,
yeah, it's
right?
Like that giant UFO over Phoenix.
Right.
I told you that.
Right, yeah. If people don't know what that is, though, then you're right.
Well, looks like the tip of a spear. So I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, there you go. It's kind of fun sometimes to do something special on New Year's Eve. And one of the things that I like to do is a beef Wellington. It's a little bit of work, but it's a wonderful presentation.
Never done it.
It's done.
Never done it. That's an English thing, right?
Right, yeah. And basically what you're doing is you're taking a tenderloin of beef, and it's, you know, you can cut them to any length you want, but say a foot of it.
I'm just curious.
Right.
Do you wear Oxford cloth shirts when you
I do, and sometimes I talk like this, but but most of the time not. But anyway, you're going to take and you're going to grill that and brown it on the outside, okay, because I'm going to put it on the grill, maybe rub a little oil on it.
What kind of piece of meat?
It's a tenderloin.
Oh.
A beef tenderloin, right? About the size of a baseball,
mm-hmm,
around, and maybe like a foot of it. Is all I
at
do.
Least.
Yeah. So I'm going to put that on the grill, season it up with some Old World Olive Company garlic EVO, and then I'm going to hit it pretty heavily with crushed pepper and salt, right? And I'm going to let it come up to room temperature, and then I'm going to take it on a hot grill, and I'm going to sear it on each side.
Okay,
roll
so
it three or four
off.
Times.
So time out. I just want to catch up because that's a good question. Do you let it come up to temperature and then oil it and salt it?
I usually do it right out of the refrigerator.
There's a lot of theories back and forth.
I like it to crust a little bit, and as it's warming up, if it's already on there, it gets a little bit, when I say crust, so, the salt and the pepper.
So step by step, what are you doing first?
I'm going to pull it out of the refrigerator, unwrap it out of the butcher paper from Sobeys.
I didn't mean that many steps.
Well, all right. Then I'm going to hit it with the garlic EVO.
Okay, that's what I wondered.
Right.
And so then I'm going to put the seasoning. Oil it before you put your salt and pepper on.
I want the salt and pepper to stick, and if I do it the other way, the oil rinses off the salt and pepper, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
So
I hear all points of view.
Right.
I have changed from doing that to salt and pepper, and then putting the oil on it.
Right.
Because the salt sticks better to the meat without the oil.
Okay. I use kosher salt, which is flaky, and the oil makes it, yeah, rather than rock salt. but I just feel like it's a better salt mix for me.
Yeah, the flaky salt.
Yeah.
And you can always trust it.
So anyway.
Wellington.
Grill this thing up and get it brown on all sides. Take it off and let it rest a little bit. And then I'm going to take the easiest way. This is not the chef's way, but the easiest way is you can buy the crescent rolls that are in sheets.
It's not wrong.
Right. And you just wrap this around there. And that's why I said a foot, because that's about the length of the crescent roll. You wrap that around there, and then you're going to put it in the oven and bake it at 350 for like another half hour. So when I've grilled it, I've got it maybe to 120 degrees on the inside. And then what I forgot to tell you is I'll take some minced portobello mushrooms and mix them with a little beef au jus and thicken it with some flour. So I've got a little gravy on there, and I'll put that gravy on top of the tenderloin before I wrap it in
the
dough.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So that when it bakes and the dough will expand, right, you pull it off after it's done
baking.
Makes
it a little crusty on the bottom because
it
renders.
Yep, and a little bit of and it's got a little bit of that mushroom flavor in there. And then the presentation is you take it out of the oven at 350 after about 20, 25 minutes. Uh-huh. And then you're going to set it on the board and let it rest. And then, 20 minutes after you pull it out of the oven is when you want to serve it. And it's just a wonderful presentation. You slice it like a jelly roll. Everybody gets a little bread with the au jus in there and that perfect medium rare meat. It's wonderful.
So I apologize for the really bad Pillsbury Doughboy impersonation. But
you looked the part.
Which one of those rolls would you buy? The crescent?
Yeah, right. And they come in sheets now. You don't have to get them in the little diamond cut.
They'll come
in a sheet. Yeah.
Oh.
And then it just wraps right around.
Oh, that's
really
perfect.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. And I put the seam on the bottom underneath the meat. It just kind of holds together a little better than if you seam it on the top. Just prettier presentation. Oh, by the way, cut a little bit of slits in the top, because that beef's going to steam
like
in there.
Just like a pie.
Yeah.
Just like
that
a pie.
That beef is going to steam in there, and you want that thing to vent a little
bit. So there's a good time to have your thermopan out, because
that
is tenderloin.
Right.
Right?
Yep. 125, 130.
Beef loin or beef tenderloin?
Beef tenderloin.
Yeah.
Right.
That's pricey stuff.
Right.
Which grade are you going to get?
Well, I'm not going to get I'm going to get choice or prime. That I'm going to do prime, bring your wallet.
But, oh, my gosh.
But it's wonderful.
You'll have a hard time finding it, too.
Right, right. But you can get it. Just talk to your butcher. They'll get you anything. But all right, coming up next, we might hit some more appetizers, and we're going to talk about maybe a little bit of beef appetizers as well as chicken and turkey. Stick with us. We'll be back. New Year.